Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
There's a lot of talk about a possibility of a recession, and CNBC had a report from the Fed saying they can't rule it out. It could actually happen. What can you say to Americans tonight who are concerned about the possibility of a recession, given the fact that you're trying to reorient the economy to a manufacturing economy again?
I think if I didn't get elected, our country would be finished to start off with. And I think now that I did get elected, I think we're going to have the strongest economy in the history of the world. And I had that economy in 4 years with all the harassment, with all the crazy people after me, with all of the things that went on, even with COVID. I had the strongest economy in the history of our country. I had a stock market that went up 88%, 88%, number one in history. The other markets went up 66% and I think like 71%.
Will we see a recession in 2025? Are you ruling it out?
We're going to have the strongest economic country in the history of the world, of the planet. We are taking in so much money. Now, some people are unhappy because, you know, it has to come from somewhere. Some of it's going to come from Europe because not everybody's going to be doing as much business maybe in Europe and other places. But I can only speak for the United States. And I am a nationalist and I'm proud of it. I love this country. And I want to help other countries, too. Look, I'm the one, if it wasn't for me, they wouldn't be talking peace in Ukraine and Russia because they're not Americans being killed. They're Ukrainian soldiers and Russian soldiers. And I'm trying to make peace. And again, it has not that much to do other than
the weave.
We don't want to be paying bill. You know, Biden spent $350 billion on that war. Yeah. Got nothing for it.
How do interest rates?
All right, there we go.
Well, I mean, look, could we see what constitutes and qualifies as a recession? Yeah, it's certainly possible. And again, go back to what he said about some short-term pain for long-term prosperity. And I prefer to answer this question based on everybody's got to have, really going to have a different answer, I think, based on everybody's individual financial situation. Now, I mean, we're talking about prices. Gas prices are coming down. I've noticed that. They say eggs are down $3.70 a dozen, but I'm still paying the normal price that I've been paying for eggs. So, you know, I think it hits everybody differently. And I do think we could see a recession, but I can't imagine if Trump, when you talk about the tariffs, you talk about gutting all the spending, and of course, you know, the energy. In due time, I think it's going to be just fine. I think we're going to have an economy like we had the first time around. But I will say this, for the first month, I think you have to be impressed. Inflation went from flat 3% to 2.8%. Gas prices have come down. And not that this is really Trump related. It's just more about creating more chickens and eggs. Egg prices have come down. So for 1 month, I feel relatively good, Sean.
All right. Well, I'm gonna propose a theory.
Okay.
Okay, about the eggs. The price of eggs came down as soon as Rosie O'Donnell left the country. Now, eggs are a very, very popular ingredient in pastries and cakes and all sorts of, you know, sweets and things. So I think the Rosie O'Donnell theory, just on that information alone.
Yep.
I mean, there are people who believe in crazier theories, so why don't we just take that one and run with it? It was Rosie. The recession talks. That is hilarious that apparently recession is now being talked about as we cut government spending. So if cutting government spending causes a recession, then your economy was fake anyway.
True.
Because it can't just be completely reliant on how much money your government spends to determine how prosperous, so to speak, your economy is. So I wouldn't call it a recession as much as I would call it. We actually can see the real value of things now once we take the bloat out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's more like, you know, you're losing weight. You know what I mean? You're leaning yourself out. And hopefully it doesn't have, you know, dire consequences for Americans working, you know, jobs that are what we would refer to as essential. But the DEI offices of every massive business are not essential.
Right.
So unfortunately, those folks who are going to wind up getting laid off because they're the DEI officer of some law firm, You know, how long did you really think that was going to last? What do you do all day?
And the left can't have it both ways. They can't sit here and say, no, rehire all of these federal employees that Doge gutted, which is going to drive up the expense of operating the government, which increases inflation, more spending, and then blame Trump when we have a recession. You don't get to pick and choose which one makes you feel better about. Oh, my God, we're in a recession. Well, you're the one that wanted to pay all of these people in the federal government their bloated salaries. And, oh, by the way, USAID with all of this money that we're just shipping off to third world countries for nonsensical programs. Can't have it both ways.
Yeah, but no. Biden, we reported this, you know, in the, what was it, the summer of 2022. Biden, their answer to all of this was they redefined what a recession was. It's officially declared after, you know, two quarters of negative economic growth. That's what people do. But in the Biden administration, they were allowed, thanks to the liberal media, to just kind of rebrand. Well, what is? And they said, oh, no, it's not a recession. But if you look at the numbers tell the story. And so that's really what's infuriating about it, this entire conversation, that the R word suddenly rears its ugly head. And remember, even Bush, during the latter part of, you know, if you go back and look at this, Bush's administration, oh, recession. Then Obama gets in. It vanished. It was amazing. Whoosh. Just nobody talks about it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is nothing new, politicizing it.
Although I give Laura Ingraham credit. She asked the question and then followed up.
Yeah.
She did that in her part one also.
Yeah.
Judges.
Mm-hmm. She challenged him on things, which I give her
credit. And that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she cut him off a bunch.
She did.
But she's looking for the answer to the question, which I don't dislike. I think that's the right way to do your job, right? You ask a question, you want an answer. You know, Trump now to this point will go around and he'll weave around and maybe sometimes give you the answer. Sometimes he won't. So she pushed him. And I don't really have a problem with that. I think that's her doing her job, you know, but
except
it's
that
annoying
it's
for the listener. But
yeah,
you know,
it's not a live interview, though. That's the difference.
Right.
If it's live, I could see. But it was pre-taped and then it was edited into two different nights. So it's a little bit, I'm just going to say it's a little bit of a show. And Trump knows that. He goes, you know, so think about that. He knows what the deal is. She's trying to look like, hey, I'm interrupting the president. I'm being tough. I'm holding him.
Tough.
Well, you could ask the question. You could let him answer it and not interrupt him and still ask the question because you're going to edit it anyway.
Right.
So there's
true.
A little bit
That's
of a game.
That's a good point.
We talked a lot in the 6 o'clock hour about active judges thwarting some of the Trump administration's orders. Pam Bondi talked about this yesterday with Will Kane. This is what she said.
Do you need, though, the assistance of the United States Supreme Court to help fast-track a lot of these orders from the district judges to make their way through the appellate process? They can drag out hearings. They can drag this out. I went to law school long enough to know that the law does not work swiftly. Is there something you can do, or do you need the Supreme Court here to play ball to get this going quickly, to get resolution?
Yeah, well, we will appeal through the process, but we do anticipate getting there quickly. Yes, we do need the Supreme Court. We anticipate that because many of these lawsuits, of course, are filed right here in D.C. Many of these injunctions, these liberal activist judges are based right here, these judges who have no right to control President Trump's agenda. But, yeah, we of course we need the Supreme Court. We will get there. We will get there fast, and we will prevail. Look what Donald Trump has accomplished in the short time he's been in office. It's remarkable. They can't stand it. They can't handle it. He is saving our country. We are going to protect Americans. We are going to make America prosperous again and safe again.
Will Kane, another guy that finished law school. Amazing.
Did he finish?
Yeah.
He did.
Oh,
he gets a law degree. Right,
Texas. Cool.
Graduated cum laude, by the way, from Pepperdine.
Yeah, he's a smart
cat.
And
then went on to law school.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Everybody goes to law school, they finish it, but they never become lawyers. They just go elsewhere afterwards, which I don't understand why you would spend that kind of money and then never utilize it, but that's neither here nor there. Speaking of lawyers.
Mustard.
Ron DeSantis, also a lawyer. And in regards to some of these stories that we've been talking about with the judges and the blocking, AP with the story about the federal judge, we talked about this, who blocked the banning of transgender people from the military service. You know, we got into that. We got to the USAID judge. judge. One is Biden-backed. One was appointed by Obama. And, of course, the other judge on the deportation front. But DeSantis actually makes a really good point here in regards to finding a way around this by these judges that are trying to stymie Trump. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says the following, quote, Congress has the authority. And remember, Republicans control the Congress. Congress has the authority to strip jurisdiction of the federal courts to decide these cases in the first place. The sabotaging of President Trump's agenda by these, quote, as DeSantis says, resistance judges was predictable. Why no jurisdiction stripping bills teed up at the onset of this Congress? DeSantis wrote in a post Wednesday on X. So I've got to imagine that if Ron DeSantis knows this at a state gubernatorial level, somebody in the Trump administration with a law degree probably is aware of this. So I don't know if they want to go down that road, if they feel like they're going to deal with negative pushback from the media. I can't imagine they would be afraid of that. They've been dealing with it for 10 years. But why not do this? If we're going to have, I think I gave you the number, and I want to give proper credit to who had the number last night. I saw a tweet from Mark Levin. There was 638, I believe, federal district judges in the United States that are not voted for. They are not elected. They are appointed. And I think it spans the past five presidents. If they're going to play politics and try to stymie Trump, well, DeSantis apparently, I mean, I don't think this isn't coming from some, you know, Twitter lawyer. This is coming from DeSantis, who's from, you know, Harvard Law, I believe. He might know a thing or two. This might be the way that they can kind of circumvent this. All right, good talk.
Sorry, I thought that was aimed at Sean. I'm sorry.
No,
I think, you know, how do we best address the issue of biased judges, whether they're appointed or what have you? And we've talked about it in, you know, Pennsylvania, because every state has their different way of either electing judges, but the federal judges, generally speaking, when we talk about them, a lot of them will say, if this is an Obama appointed judge, or this is a, you know, pick your president appointed judge. And we heard the pushback also from Chief Justice John Roberts talking about let this go through the appellate process. So we have to be careful with that.
Yeah.
The one thing I want to say, too, about this judge that blocked the Trump administration's trans thing for the military, like, you can't, the military is the ultimate. Like, not everybody can join the military.
Yeah, it should be merit-based, right?
If you're too short, if you're too fat, if you have ADD, if you have ADHD, if you have anxiety, if you're nearsighted, if you're farsighted.
If you can't run the mile in under 9 minutes or whatever the fitness requirements are.
They don't allow you to serve.
Correct.
So it is not, like, and who has the ultimate control of the military? The commander-in-chief. Mm-hmm. So for these judges to come and say this about this, like, the military is the ultimate, like, no, if you're this or you're that or you're this, you can't serve.
Well, how do we feel that we're talking about here, the headline being the banning of transgender people from the military. But if the transgender individual can check off every requirement box, and we know the left, they love their boxes. Mm-hmm. They should just go into the corrugated box industry, for God's sakes.
Yep.
So if you can do everything that's required of you, I have no problem with you being in it. Now, I don't know if military members want that, whether it's a morale thing or if it's an awkwardness or whatever it might be. Wouldn't bother me.
Yeah.
If you're transgendered and you're badass and you're tough and you can run and you can fight, and I feel like you've got my back in a bunker and you're good on the long gun or whatever you're supposedly doing, I don't really care what you are. Just be qualified.
My one thing about it is, you're right, and all the physical attributes, if they check the boxes off and on their merits, I'm with you up until we talk about the idea of being transgender, because that is an illness that you're not, like, you are detached from reality to a certain point where you believe that you are something that you aren't. So my biggest thing, and I don't know where I would necessarily stand. I would rather ask, I'd probably want to ask some of the folks in the military who are serving in these combat roles, do you trust that the person you are standing next to, who doesn't know what gender they are or are in disagreement about their own biology, do you trust that they know who to shoot at on any given day?
Yeah.
Right. Do you trust that they are in the right mind to fulfill? Physically, they may be the most physically, you know, competent person in their, you know, in the military as a whole.
Yep.
But it's up here. It's between the eyes, right? It's between the ears. It's in your head. Are you of right mind to do it? And that's, I think that's what, because, you know, the biggest excuse about it now, or the biggest, like, argument against trans in the military is, well, if they're relying on medication and they're out on some sort of mission and they don't have their meds, what happens? Well, that's a pretty bad situation, right? And now there are some folks who are not being medicated for it. But there's still something going on in these people's minds that reality isn't real, right? Like water is dry and there's nothing they can do to change their mind. Men believe they're women. Women believe they're men. It is called gender dysphoria. So do you take a person who qualifies on every metric and say you can join the military, but you can't serve in a combat role? I would be willing to make that compromise off the bat. I just don't know if the folks who are serving, and I literally don't know. I could tell you, if I was a combat vet or an active combat, you know, an active soldier who served in a combat role, I wouldn't feel comfortable with somebody with a male who believes he's a female, or likewise a female who believes she's a male.
Yep.
Serving next to me, knowing they don't know what gender they are. How do they know who the enemy is on any given day?
Yep.
You know, something like that.
So just to update you, we reported this Tuesday, the federal judge, Anna Reyes, the U.S. district judge, ruled on this. It's only temporary. So the Trump administration has until tomorrow. It's just a pause on this. And pretty much the government's case is what Sean just said about it has to do with, and by the way, anybody who has been diagnosed with any mental disorder or mental issue that they're being treated for, I believe would be treated the same way that they would perhaps not go to combat duty, let's say. So part of it has to do with gender dysphoria. That's part of the argument here. But I will say we'll know more by tomorrow as well. What has this done? The Pentagon, based on Trump's executive order, barring transgender individuals from joining the military, stopping paying for any hormonal treatment or sex reassignment surgery, which we've reported could be as much as $100,000, and began removing transgender service members from the ranks. That's what has already happened. But this ruling this week sort of pauses all of that until we know more tomorrow.
Let's go to Sean's former home state of New York. This is New York City. I know you are a Long Island boy, Sean. But they have McDonald's and Target stores in Brooklyn have officially banned unsupervised teens. So no unsupervised teens are allowed in the McDonald's and Target stores in this borough.
They've done this in Philly.
Yeah, it's crazy. Roll this. Roll the Pix 11 clip, Phil.
They make a mess. They're talking about drills and fighting, and I don't approve of that.
There's no disputing the reason why two of the more popular businesses in this Flatbush, Brooklyn neighborhood are banning teens, 18 and younger, who are not accompanied by an adult. Last month, we told you about the McDonald's on Flatbush Avenue, which did just that during after-school hours, following the lead of the Target store right around the corner, which implemented a similar ban around the clock.
I was assaulted on this topic right here. These children nowadays, they're doing smoking and attacking people. They're, you know, stealing things and going in pockets and cutting pocketbooks.
Wow. That. I'm going to go with the three P's here. You can blame parents. That's bad parenting that your kid's 16 and can't figure out how to act in a McDonald's or a Target. That's police, not the police's fault, but I think a byproduct of defunding the police. And who defunded the police? The politicians. Parents, police, politicians. That's embarrassing.
It is.
That really
guess
is.
Guess what's happening? Guess what's going to happen in 9 months, 8 months? Andrew Cuomo is going to be elected as the new mayor of New York City. Yep. So, you know, nobody. The thing is, who the hell? Okay, McDonald's, you know, you have the kids, the Happy Meal, and you get a toy, although I don't know if you still get one of those.
I'm You do.
Now, you do. Yeah. Okay, that's good.
Yeah. When do they stop serving breakfast? Is it 10:30 or 11?
10:30. 10:30, yeah.
McDonald's breakfast is so gross. Give me a Big Mac. Remember when Taco Bell started doing breakfast too, and that thing looked like the monster from under your bed? I was like, You don't need that. You
that
know?
Would be like, out of me of all, in 5 minutes.
That's the thing. You know, when I wake up in the morning, a good clean out is sometimes all you need.
Yeah.
And you don't need coffee's
a strong enough laxative.
Coffee and maybe a quesadilla from the night before. I don't need whatever that breakfast taco was that they made. Like, ridiculous. This is New York. If you're now banning, you know, unsupervised teenagers from McDonald's, what kind of, like, hellhole are you living in?
Yeah.
And why are you going to keep voting for the people who have, you know, this is happening under the watch of Democrats? What do you think? Andrew Cuomo is going to make that better?
It really is staggering that that guy could be a foregone conclusion, a mathematical certainty, the gambling lock of all gambling locks to become the mayor of New York City. What does that say about New York? That nudnik, that after what he did during the pandemic, is a guarantee to be the next mayor.
Yeah.
That's staggering.
And then when everyone's like, New York is going to flip, I was like, it isn't. Because watch, you know how bad, you saw the Daniel Penny case. That was a nightmare. You had the Trump case. That was a nightmare. The Letitia James fraud case in there. That was a nightmare. The crimes, Jose Alba, everything that's happened under Alvin Bragg. You know, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, New York is waking up. The lady getting lit on fire on the subway.
Yeah.
You know, people getting pushed in front of trains, cops being attacked, illegals in the Roosevelt Hotel. And people are like, New York's waking up. And then you turn the page and you see that Andrew Cuomo is leading the Democrat primary against Eric Adams by 30 points.
I'm old enough to remember, Sean, when people tried to tell me that New York was in play for Trump and Republicans. And New York might go red. Don't rule it out, Nick. Andrew Cuomo's a lock.
No, not yet.
New York's going red. Your head's going red.
Jersey may flip in the gubernatorial election in a few months.
Jersey has
a possibility.
Yes, Jersey has a better mathematical chance of going red than New York.
And New York took a big step towards the right over in the last election, but it was still an 11-point race.
By the way, I want to play this Alec Baldwin, Hilaria Baldwin thing.
Oh, yeah.
But just get over to YouTube because it's visual, but you have to see this. YouTube.com.
So awkward.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHT. I'll play that in 1 second.
Real quickly, do you still have the audio of when Baldwin did a show here?
No.
Oh, reading the menu.
There's no official. We have like clips.
Yeah.
But we don't have the official show. I wish we did because I produced it. What a mess that was. Sean.
That local or was that syndicated?
It was local. Sean, back when I first started a radio here back in like the early 2000s, they decided that they were going to give Alec Baldwin a tryout for a radio show here in Philadelphia on a Sunday night. And he came so unprepared. He just thought he was going to sit there and take calls, and nobody called. And because nobody called, he was fumbling around with papers. He started reading a menu. He kept asking me and the producer that he was with, are there any calls yet? Did anybody call yet? Is anybody calling?
Goodness.
What's the phone number again? Where are we? 1210 PhD. It was a nightmare. It was an absolute nightmare.
Wow. So when we miss every break, not by intentionally not paying attention to the clock, start giving us some credit in this industry, folks. Some of us can't get to the finish line because they don't know what to talk about and need phone calls as a crutch. The rest of us here, like on Kale and Company, we can't shut our yaps.
YouTube.com/at1210 to be PhD if you want to see this video. I'm going to play it in 1 second. I want to start with Bill Burr first because Bill Burr is just – he's obsessed with Elon Musk.
This is really bizarre.
So he was on with Jimmy Fallon. I'd like to get to this yesterday, but of course, like you said, Nick, we can't shut our mouths, so I never got to it. He was on with Jimmy Fallon, and they weren't even talking about Elon Musk, and he just kind of shoehorned the discussion of Elon Musk in so he could make this comment. Roll it.
Well, it's a positive time, Jimmy.
Yeah, it really is.
Billionaires are not happy having $1 billion. Why does Elon Musk dress like he just...
All right, thank you. Oh, my God.
Why does Elon Musk dress like he just got out of a Hot Topic? I am so sick of that guy trying to rewrite his origin story like he was Matthew McConaughey pulling into the high school. It's like you were a nerd, nobody banged you, and now you have hair plugs in your laminated face.
Laminated
No, and everybody is afraid of these nerds. I don't get it. My whole life, feminists were focusing on frat boys and guys with their hats on backwards, and they left the nerds alone. And now look at them.
I've never heard anybody call him Elon.
Isn't it
Elon? Yeah, I think there's a college called Elon.
No, it's Elon.
Is it called Elon as well?
North Carolina.
It's Elon University. Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, this is Bill Burr. Bill Burr is, I think that's racist. He's being nasty to an African immigrant. So
EDS is real. By the way, speaking of Elon, I'm saying it wrong, Elon derangement syndrome, a Minnesota lawmaker has introduced or began writing a bill to officially classify TDS as a mental health issue. Did you guys see this story?
It is a mental health issue. Yeah.
Well, we all know it is.
It is a mental health issue.
He's actually writing a bill.
You have to be. They're so obsessed with Donald. Like, if Donald Trump endorsed breathing, they'd stop, which I think he should do that. You know, I think Donald Trump should be like, I love to breathe. It's the greatest. I love to breathe in and I love to breathe out. It's a tremendous song. You know, Bush, they wrote a beautiful song. Breathe in, breathe out, right? And then an activist judge is going to be like, endorsing breathing is unconstitutional. You must hold your breath.
Yeah. All right, YouTube.com/@1210WPHG if you want to see this video. Alec Baldwin and his wife, Hilaria.
Who's Hillary, born in Boston.
And she used a fake accent for a while, right?
And yes. Hilaria is a fake name.
Oh. Yeah.
Her born name, Hillary, and she was born and raised in Boston.
Mm. So just for people who don't know, because I actually had no idea, there's a reality series with those two and their children. It's on TLC. It's called The Baldwins.
Oh, God.
So they did a Planet Hollywood in Times Square red carpet event, and they were there to promote season 2 of the TLC series, The Baldwins. When she snapped at her husband, Alec, because he started talking too much. And if you... is it possible to feel bad for Alec Baldwin?
Yeah, this is, my wife does this to me at family functions. Absolutely.
This is
bad.
Karma.
I think
this is karma.
Because God forbid, like, living with this woman. Oh, yay, yay.
Yeah, I hate a pushy broad.
Oh, man. So this interview is courtesy of Extra. Roll this.
All right.
The Hilaria Show.
No. I think we're going to see, you know? We're going to see how it feels to have it be out there.
It's going to be great.
You're
a winner.
Oh, my God. When I'm talking, you're not talking.
I'm sorry?
No, when I'm talking, you're not talking. This is why, yes, we'll have to, like, just cut him out of the show. No.
Jesus.
No, I mean, I think this is a really raw show, and it's very real, and we took a lot of chances, and you know, I think that we'll see where it leads us. We'll see what it feels like to have be out there, and then we'll see, you know, if people like it.
He's looking for that handgun from the set of Rust.
And he shoots people. She better be careful.
And he walks.
You know,
he's over.
He's got a track record.
Now, I don't know the background of their story. So is that an act she's putting on there to stay in character for the show, or is she just really like that?
No, this is. So the story is they're married. They have a bunch of kids together. She's much younger than him, and they're on a red carpet. And so you see a backdrop like when we have our PhD events, like Don Jr. Sean Farish, and you have like the backdrop.
Yep.
So they're doing interviews and they're on the red carpet and they're clearly interviewing the two of them. And would you know her? Like, he's clearly like the famous one, right?
Yeah.
I think.
So he's going to help promote the show that he's also in.
Yeah.
Nobody knows her.
Nobody knows who she is. So then you see him when she like awkwardly snaps at him and you look at his face. And so he pretends that somebody who you can't see on camera. He pretends like he sees somebody. Yeah. Then he walks behind her.
Somebody else wants my attention.
And he awkwardly is like pretending he's talking. Like now he's like finding somebody else.
Yeah. I've been
so
in those settings.
Awkward, right?
You know, at Piazza in December. Everybody wanted to talk to Dawn, so I just pretended like somebody wanted my attention. And I moseyed on over and talked to somebody else. Hey, yeah, look at me with the flexible trousers.
All I'm saying is that maybe there's a reason he loses his temper all the time.
I'm just surprised there's still a market for this guy. He's terrible on SNL doing Trump. He was very close to going away for a long time with that court case. And now he's got a TLC a reality show?
What's interesting, what I think they find interesting about it, first of all, she's 41, he's 66.
Yeah, I get that dynamic.
But second of all, they have like 7 kids.
Yes.
And like young kids.
Together?
Together. So they just, the show, I've never seen it, but from what I understand, the show is just their lives and the chaos that having all of those kids, like little kids under like 12.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to last.
So I'm wondering if this is like a back-to-back Monday night where TLC gives you Alec and his younger wife, and then we get, which by the way, we need to start finding more clips of again, the other show on TLC that we talked about, the girl with Tourette's.
Oh, yeah.
That we love.
I love her.
Yeah.
Balin.
I'd rather watch Honey Boo Boo than watch...
I would like to have Balin flip out on Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
And
I
give
think
her
I actually
finger.
Might watch, I might rather watch The View than the Alec Baldwin, because at least when these Democrats go on The View, they say stupid stuff. It's
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Schumer. But mocking taxpayers.
Hilaria. I just think this is great. I think it's hilarious because she's gorgeous. She has had all these kids. She's a yoga instructor. I guess that, I don't know how they met. Was he doing yoga? But, like, I'm not going to feel sorry for him because Alec Baldwin, you made your bet.
Yeah.
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 Karma, mm-hmm. baby.
That's right.
Yeah. That is my favorite. That is my favorite clip of the day because he just zips it. He zips it as soon as that battle axe tells him. Oh, man.
He's how old is he? 66.
66. Yeah. She's 41.
So
I mean, she's beautiful.
She's beautiful and in amazing shape. She obviously works out a lot. Their kids are 11. 9, 8, 6 4-year-old twins.
Oh my God.
And the youngest is 2.
God bless him.
Oh my God.
Wow. My goodness.
Guy needs to have a cocktail.
Oh man. So if you want to see that TLC show.
Yes. Ooh. There you go.
I don't know.
Probably gets bad ratings.
No, and then remember his daughter who's married, you know.
Ireland
with Kim Basinger, called the pig.
Yeah,
let us not forget
you
that.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
Oh, that's right. That was the leaked audio tape, right? Yeah,
when she was like 12.
Yeah.
Little girl.
He's like, you're just like your mother.
Didn't he start yelling, you make me want to smoke?
He yelled.
Or was that the other guy that blew a gasket?
He yelled a lot of things.
It was
things,
horrible.
But he's not exactly
you're
father.
You're an ugly little pig.
He's not exactly father of the year.
So now he gets, this is... life's revenge, I think.
Oh, man.
Remember, just to complete the soap opera, that his 29-year-old daughter, Ireland, is the one married to Justin Bieber.
No, that's
not. Right?
No,
that's not.
That's fake
that's
news.
That's the other
that's
kid.
His, that's okay, that's
his,
fake.
Sorry.
That's his brother.
That's his brother.
That's
sorry.
His brother's daughter.
Is that right?
Yes.
How many Baldwins are there?
Danny Baldwin.
Yeah.
Too many.
Danny Baldwin. One.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's unbelievable.
Jethro Baldwin.
Baldwins.
All right, we got a break.
All right, that'll do it. Sean Farish, thank you very much.
Woo! Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Love you, man.
There he is.
Don't accept pizza.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put up a sign. No mas.
No pizza.
No pizza.
No pizza.
Be safe, dude. There he is. Sean Farish will be back with us tomorrow for Radiothon. Quick break. We'll come back and get to a Dawn Stensland Big 3. But first, Bucks County, you mean?
Yes. Thank you.
Bucks County. Bucks County Estate Traders. Oh, yeah. We're getting close. I'm going to have my new house shortly, and I've got to furnish it, right? And I don't know the difference between a great couch or a crappy couch. I just know what I like and what I don't like. But Bucks County Estate Traders, they know it all. Their massive Hatfield showroom has over 16,000 pieces of high-end furniture. Brands like Stickler, Bakey, I'm not reading correctly. Stickley and Baker, not Stickler and Bakey. That would make no sense. The kind of quality craftsmanship that stands the test of time. And you can save thousands compared to new retail prices. No matter your style, classic, modern, rustic, traditional, you're going to find stunning pieces that fit today's homes. And today, I'm going to go out there later this afternoon. Not only do they have a 58,000 square foot showroom, they're building another 10,000 square feet. Tons of space, tons of furniture. Whether you're finishing and furnishing a living room, a dining room, a home office, a man cave, they have everything, whether it's one piece or 20 pieces, whether you're going to spend $3,000 or $50,000 to do your entire house. Bucks County Estate Traders, they have it all. And unlike the big box stores, if you see something you love, you can take it home the same day because every piece has a QR code. So you're going to pull out that phone, you're going to snap a picture, you're going to tap the QR code, boom, details instantly. And their expert staff, best in the business, no pushy salespeople, They'll be a straight shooter with you. They know their stuff, and they'll have it ready ahead of time. Check out their website, call ahead. Boom, the pieces are ready when you are there to show up and pick things up or just to take a look at them. Visit BucksCountyEstateTraders.com today or stop by their showroom in Hatfield and tell them Nick Kale sent you.
Got to talk about my friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, featuring the very latest luxury vehicles from today's top brands. I'm talking about Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar, Land Rover, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, Maserati, and more. You know, these models have such sleek new designs and innovative features, and they are powered by the very latest in technology. Right now, Piazza has thousands of new and certified pre-owned vehicles, and they're available across Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey dealerships for Piazza. Piazza Premium Automobiles always stands out. Visit them, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com, P-I-A-Z-Z-A, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Tell them Dolan sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Right now, what's on tap for Dawn is a big three at 9:33.
It's the big three and nine on Kale and Company.
By the way, that was Jim Croce, Pride of Delaware County.
Thank you.
Just saying, baby.
There's a reason we're playing that. You'll find out coming up at 9:50.
Not Pat Croce, by the way.
Another Pride of
Delco
not Delaware.
As
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. We love Pat. And hope he's doing well with all of his treatments. So we now have word as far as Amtrak. This is the Amtrak CEO who has resigned. And this is making some big local news and national news. But the Amtrak CEO, Stephen Gardner, stepping down from his position. He says he wants to ensure that Amtrak continues to enjoy, quote, the full faith and confidence of this administration. So this as Doge and Elon Musk. Well, Elon Musk had said that he believes the Postal Service and Amtrak need to be privatized.
I did hear that. Yeah.
So this is fallout, but he's stepping down from his spot, he says.
Okay.
So we've got that one going on. I will say, I'm going to say this is number two. Have we heard from the astronauts, or have we heard when our favorite astronauts who have just come home, have we heard how their medical conditions and treatment is going and when they'll be at the Oval Office for their Oval Office visit? Kind of quiet in the headlines. And whenever something's quiet, just by omission, I'm just going to point it out to you. I always want to watch that. When will that be scheduled? We were told that they were supposed to go to the White House.
Do you think they have? And I know you talked about the side effects and the symptoms and bone density and things like that. And I'm assuming that that type of stuff doesn't just, for lack of a better word, regenerate overnight. Do you think any of them are dealing with severe, maybe not life-threatening issues, but, real complications that require hospital stays or anything like that?
And compared to other missions, and I don't have that data.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Is this part of the regular procedure, or is this something different because they were up there for a much longer time?
I just can't imagine that your body resets itself with if I just rest up for the weekend, I'll be good to go Monday. I don't think it's that sort of protocol. It will be my guess. I don't know. If we have any space cadets out there, let me know.
I'm just asking the question. That's all. Also, we're watching this morning. We're watching very carefully as we look at when is it going to happen. Supposedly, we're on a countdown to when officially the Department of Education will be shut down, or at least the signing from President Trump to begin the shutdown still needs congressional approval. And then this morning, we're just watching this one website and locally Tesla owners speaking out concerned about an online map decorated, especially with this emoji, this image of a Molotov cocktail, and people feeling like they're being threatened. Are they in danger because they own or drive a Tesla? That's making national and local headlines.
I just saw
that going on.
Linda McMahon, Fox's, running the little scroll with who's coming up. She is scheduled to be on Brett Baer's program at 6 o'clock tonight. So I'm going to guess that Department of Education executive order is going to be in that 3 to 4:30 window this afternoon. Would be my guess. How about that, by the way? You get tabbed to be the Department of Education secretary, and then your department goes away. I feel like being hired to do a morning show, and then 6 weeks later, the show disappears.
Well, I think
we're going to syndicated mornings, Nick. I know I just brought you in from Tennessee, but change of plans.
I'm bringing in Ozzy, by the way.
Bring him in.
Bringing him in. Bring him in.
Oh my God.
Greg, did I?
Doesn't he look like Ozzy?
Holy hell! Yeah, Ozzy. Yeah, we got, Phil's taking him to cut a promo for his Saturday night show.
What?
Get in here.
Greg, do I have a sponsor for that? I don't think I do.
Yeah, you guys figure out what needs to be read, and I'm going to figure out. Hey, Phil!
No.
Wait, okay. Where's Ozzy going?
Sure I'm okay.
Ozzy.
The hair, the glasses, the whole
Ozzy,
bit.
He's basking. He's getting a little sun, vitamin D out of the window because it's the first day of spring.
Does he have a wife named Sharon?
YouTube.com.
69 degrees.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHD if we go. I don't know where Ozzy is.
Does he have any pretend kids that are pains in the asses?
That's not nice.
Remember the show with the son and the daughter?
Sure.
Oh, they were rotten children.
Yeah.
Oh, just obnoxious and fat.
I mean, wouldn't you, if you're Ozzy's kids, wouldn't, like, really? I mean, you know.
I don't know.
Real Ozzy or
no.
Which Ozzy?
What do you think Bobby Kennedy thinks of
real Ozzy.
Ozzy's kids? You think he can get them to buy into Maha?
Ozzy has to take a pee break.
Ozzy had to relieve himself.
All right, let's take a break.
He's going to drain his own swamp.
We'll take a break and we'll come back.
Take your time, Ozzy. We're here all day. You know, wouldn't want that coffee.
Let's talk about Chapman Windows Doors,
siding,
stucco remediation. Chapman, they really do it all. I can tell you that. I'm grateful to them, and actually need. I noticed that I do need a new bay window in the front. So that's one of my latest projects. I'm always working on something. If you're a homeowner like me, right, that's part of the life that you look around, especially this time of year. Do that analysis. Check out the house. What do you need done? You can turn to my friends at Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding. So if you're thinking about redoing the siding, that's an important choice, right? It's the perfect time. Like I say, walk around the house, do the analysis, and maybe you see a little wear and tear, a little mold, a little buckling, a little peeling. That shows that those parts of your home, they're being exposed right now to all the elements. That's not a good thing. Nothing good happens after that. So think about, I want you to think about the protective barrier, not just the beauty of redoing the siding. It's so important. So Chapman, they use the best brands, James Hardy and CertainTeed. Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding, they always go the extra mile. They're going to work with you on all the different styles, and there are so many different options. And you know what? They're going to fit within your style, also within your budget. They're going to work with you on that, I can tell you. And there are so many different choices, and it's a beautiful thing. So it's not, you know, my husband's always like, how much is this going to be? Just hold on. And he's always thrilled. That's what you want. You want somebody who's going to work with you. You'll experience the Chapman difference as I have over the years. Just call, text. They're local. They're like-minded. 610-431-8898. 610-431-8898. Check them out online. Look at all of their amazing reviews, by the way. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. A lot of before and afters. Check it out. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Tell him Dawn sent you.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Pretend Ozzy is here. He's taken his leak. He's done his number one down the hall. He's got his Coke Zero.
Did
with
you wash
him.
Your hands?
Yes. Did you use hand sanitizer or soap?
Sanitizer.
You're a sanitizer, man. You've earned points with me. The rest of the staff doesn't like you anymore, though. They're pro soap.
You look exactly like Ozzy, bro.
I know you do.
I had to pretend it was the Alamo.
So pretend Ozzy is here. He's got the Kale and Company flag.
Nick doesn't get that joke, by the way.
No, I'm just trying to figure out how Jimmy Kelly didn't get him situated with the headphone and the microphone. You know, like a professional operation that we pretend to be.
Beautiful
Thank you, Jimmy.
Office.
Don't worry.
It's better than
headsets?
The land of pod.
No,
he's good. I took care of it. Okay. I took care. Everybody else has got their own agenda down the hall. So, well, we got the flag here. Can you give it a wave? Because you're on YouTube, Ozzy.
Watch the camera behind you, though, Ozzy. Okay.
Yes, don't bang that camera to your left. You see that above your shoulder? Do not hit that camera.
Look at that.
Somebody
Very
did
nice.
It a week ago, and we almost took the whole Woo. Company out.
Good
we
job.
Love you all.
There it is.
Sharon!
Yes, can you give us more? Give us more Ozzy here.
What I'm going to do is, I think there's a competing radio station, W something, or MR, and they're a sponsor of my Landis Theater appearance on June 20. I'm sorry, March 22nd, excuse me. I'm bringing this behind enemy lines on stage.
Oh, beautiful.
Wow, nice. Beautiful.
We kicked their ass on YouTube anyway, so wave that bad boy as much as you
Come
want.
Come on out to the Landis on sale now. Just Sabbath with special guest Smoking Guns.
Wow.
Southern Ooh. Rock.
Can I ask you a question? I'm getting word that you do Ozzy covers, right?
Yes.
Can you do Mama, I'm Coming Home?
Well, it's called Just Sabbath. Have you ever seen Step Brothers?
Yeah.
Okay, you know, Uptown Girl just did the new Billy Joel.
Yeah.
Well, I just do Sabbath. But The Land of Oz is playing the Sellersville Theater on Good Friday.
Yeah.
I can't say celebrate the death of Jesus, but come on out for Easter weekend for The Land of Oz. We sold out for 10 years in a row.
Nice. Yeah.
So Sellersville Theater, you will see Mom, I'm Coming Home by The Land of Oz. That's the Ozzy one. But Just Sabbath, we do the old Sabbath.
Gotcha. Nice.
So the old stuff, the stoner stuff.
Do you plan to make any cameos on This Week in Music History with Phil Almquist?
I hope to. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I could. He's better than Kurt Loder.
Loder?
He's better than Katz. I would see Phil again and again.
We should take a break, and then he should join us for This Week in Music History.
Yeah.
Yes.
Stick around. We want to hear your wisdom as well.
Love you all.
Yeah. By the way, what do you think of Ozzy's kids, the boy and the girl?
I met them. I took pictures with them.
Yeah.
They're very nice people. And they're very cool. They made a, I can't curse.
No, you cannot curse.
Yeah. A lot of money.
A crap ton of money day.
Thank you. Interesting. All right. Pretend Ozzy will stick around. We've got the Morning Mystery movie clip from Jimmy Kelly.
Where are you playing again, dude?
This is the Landis Theater, Saturday night, March 22nd, Just Sabbath. And, guys.
This Saturday.
This Saturday night.
Nice.
Buy tickets because my wife says, AM radio. No one listens to AM radio. So please, sell this out. Let me be right once, please. Let me be right one time.
We'll give you a copy of our ratings for your wife.
Please do. I'll bring them home.
All right. Ozzy's going to go take another leak, and we'll be back after this.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app. What happened on this day in music history? Music history on Kale and Company.
March 20th, we celebrate the birthday of Carl Palmer from Emerson, Lake & Palmer, as well as Asia, who's 75. Happy birthday shouts to Chester Bennington from Linkin Park. We also lost Kenny Rogers in 2020 and Twisted Sister's drummer in 2015. Sixicude with a Little Luck by Wings in 78. Bad Bad Leroy Brown by Jim Croce in 73. Can't Buy Me Love by the Beatles in 64. And Can I Play With Madness by Iron Maiden in 1988. Albicud Nation by Sepultura in 2001. And Rhythm of Youth by Men Without Hats in 82. Also in 91, Eric Clapton's son Connor dies, which inspires, of course, the song Tears in Heaven. In 82, Joan Jett was atop the singles chart. In 77, T-Rex plays their last UK show. In 69, John Lennon married Yoko Ono. In 72, Ringo recorded Back Off Boogaloo. And in 85, Rat began their World Infestation Tour. But lastly, I gotta mention my hair metal.
Of course.
You know I do. Yeah. But lastly, since the Radiothon is tomorrow, and even though I haven't aired a single Saturday night show yet, although the first one is this Saturday night at 11 p.m. to 1 a.m., I am willing to give up a three-song block on a future show for a donation to the Travis Mannion Foundation.
You hear that, Dawn? He's going to give up a three-song block on his
4K company I fill up
Saturday night show.
It's ridiculous. I have to stay up Saturday night and call in to partake in this show, but I will just for Phil.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHD. I think we can get some donations for that.
Yeah, and by the time Pretend Ozzy wraps up with his performance, Phil's show will be coming on.
That's correct.
By the way, Oz, anything stand out with that historical little segment there? Anything that caught your attention?
If you guys go late like you have been, I'm going to spank you.
Wow.
Spank.
Is that live?
Live spanking machine.
I have a Dawn Stensland story.
Oh, my God.
My son was 5 years old. He's 32 now, and we were at the Kmart in Clifton Heights, and Who Wants to Be a Billionaire was a big deal back then, and Regis was all the rage.
Yeah.
Regis, like Philomania.
Yeah.
Regis Mania.
There you go.
And we saw Larry Menti and beautiful Dawn Stensland, young Dawn Stensland, and my son goes, "Look, Dad, Regis." So anyway.
All right.
And they're the same height, right, Dawn?
Yeah, Regis like 5.
Yeah. Larry's like 6'10".
You guys were famous way back in the day with my children.
All right, there he is. Pretend Ozzy. I'm going to get ready for Dawn because I don't want to get spanked
by the machine.
So tell us, Dawn, 6 minutes from now, what are we talking about?
Yeah, we're talking Paula Scanlon. We'll talk about the UPenn scandal that's evolving, breaking news, executive orders, Trump, Barron's birthday. We got it all for you.
All right. Dawn Show coming up top of the hour. Pretend Ozzy, nice to see you. Best of luck with your performance.
We love you all.
Yes, we do. Phil Almquist, great stuff as always. And Jimmy Kelly, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Everybody have a great rest of your Thursday. Stay tuned. The Dawn Show is up next. Travis Mannion Foundation, 8th Annual Radiothon tomorrow. Bring your ears and, more importantly, bring your wallets.
Good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.